Second Peter, chapter number 1, verse number 19, the Bible says this. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Verse 1 says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Peter is fulfilling his calling to strengthen those who he would have opportunity to impact after Christ was imprisoned, beaten, crucified, and risen victoriously, which was the fulfilling of prophecy and the fulfilling of Christ's calling while he was on the earth. And Peter here is pouring out his heart as he was inspired by the Holy Spirit so that our walk with the Lord could be solid and without doubt. That was his calling. You strengthen the brethren, strengthen the faith. Peter first wrote, I was there when Christ was transfigured. I saw him. I saw him in his heavenly glory. Peter says he was shining like the sun and his clothing was white like light. He said, I saw that. He says, and I heard with my own ears, I heard God the Father speak from heaven, say, this is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. He said, I heard it. But as if to say in that same thought, you may never hear the voice of God. You may never hear it, not for yourself, not audibly with your own ears. Peter says to us, you have something, we have something more sure than even a voice from heaven. Amen. He says, we have the word of God. And he says that word of God is a more sure prophecy than anything else. And why is the word of God a more sure prophecy? It's a more sure prophecy because Christ's coming, his manner of living, his sacrifice, his rejection, his imprisonment, his beatings, his trial, his crucifixion, his rising again. All of this was prophesied in the Word of God, and all of it was fulfilled in His coming. So He says, guess what? You have a more sure prophecy than anything else, because you hold in your hand, God has given to you His Word, and His Word is true. It's almost like Peter screaming to us regarding the prophecies. You should believe. You can believe. It's true. It's true. Holy men of old, Peter writes, were inspired to write it. And each prophet's words are in perfect sync with the one before. And also in perfect sync with the one after, making it possible that we can compare Scripture to Scripture. That we can authenticate the Word of God through the words that God has given us. Not for our own interpretation, not for an interpretation that suits us, but that we can use Scripture to find out what God's heart is and what God wants us to know. But there were some who did, and there are some who do today, who interpret the Bible so that it suits them. And God calls them false teachers. And in chapter 2 of Peter's second letter, we're going to focus on teachers, false teachers, false followers, and the effects that both of them have on the kingdom of God. And Peter's inspired writings say, you know what? You need to get to know Jesus personally. And you will be able to fight off the false teachers, and you'll be able to spare yourself from the shame of disappointing God. And 2 points regarding false teachers I want to share with you today. First of all, because there shall be false teachers. That's what I've entitled the message today. There shall be false teachers. They'll be teaching falsely, and leading themselves to destruction. That's what the Bible says. All right. And there will be some who will fail, some who will fall for it. And they'll be following falsely, and they'll be leading others to doubt. Both of those are really sad. Both of those are really sad. First of all, let's deal with teaching falsely and leading themselves to destruction. Excuse me. What the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, again, it says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." This verse reminds us that there are no new things under the sun. Not really. But old things that are repackaged. All right. Old things that are repackaged and presented in a different way. There were, the Bible says, false prophets also among the people. What people? It's important for us to understand what people so we can understand the significance of why I believe God allowed Peter to include this into his writings for us. Remember what we read beginning in verse number 19. That remember that these chapter and verse breaks are for us. Okay, that Peter didn't write this letter in chapter and in verse. He wrote from his heart. And these chapters and verses were put there so that we might study it together, that we might be able to find it when we gather together in groups like this. But Peter's continuing his thought from the end of chapter 1. He's saying that God was speaking to holy men through the Holy Ghost, and they were writing and they were sharing. But there were those, even in that time when God was speaking, that there were those in that time who sought glory for themselves and who were speaking words as if they came from God. And God was not speaking to them at all. Now, let me tell you something. Today, there are false prophets. And one of the ways I want you to start examining or start to calling these people out, if you ever run into somebody that says, they say, "God gave me a word to give to you," please find your keys and get away from them. Because God has already given you a word. And it is the word of God. Amen. There are no new revelations. God is not calling new prophets. God is not making new Pauls. God has already given us the whole word. He has said it is finished. Amen. And anybody who wants to add to it, you need to get away from them. God has a word. God knows my phone number, all right? God wants to talk to me. When I talk to him, he'll talk back. Same thing for you. We let God speak to us. Beware of false teachers, false prophets. Beware. Then and there, then and now, there will be false teachers, false prophets among God's people. The tactics are exactly the same. They come at you privately, the Bible says, with some damaging doctrine. They come knocking on your door with some damaging doctrine. They want to pull you off to the side with some damaging doctrine that goes against the word of God. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. Exactly what he says. That's how they come privately. He said they don't want to come to the congregation to talk about this foolishness because it's foolishness. But they want to come and they want to catch you when you're weak, when you're alone, when you might be vulnerable. And they want to bring in some nonsense. It's damaging doctrine. That's what the Bible says. He says it's damaging. It even causes people to deny the Lord who bought them. Let me tell you what, if anybody wanted to speak out to you and tell you that there is a faith that you should follow that says that Jesus is not the only begotten Son of God, that Jesus, when he died on the cross, he died to pay the price for sin of people anywhere in the whole world who would confess their faith before him, and that it was through the blood of Jesus Christ that we now have the opportunity to be with God in all of his glory. It is by that blood of Jesus Christ and that blood of Jesus Christ alone that we can be saved. If they tell you anything other than that, they are false teachers. Amen. Guess what? If it's my brother, it's a false teaching. Amen. If it were to be my mother, it's a false teaching. Amen. And God says we need to be aware. We need to be aware and we need to watch out. We need to watch out. Now let's start in 2 Timothy chapter number 3. That's on page 880 in your pew Bibles. Because God says they denied the Lord that bought them and they bring upon themselves destruction. they bring upon themselves destruction. And they better look out. 2 Peter chapter 3. I want to show you something. 2 Timothy, thank you. Chapter number 3. Page 880 in your pew Bibles. Let's pick up at verse number 1. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Beginning at verse number 1. Here's what the Bible says. He says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, meaning that they will have no self-control, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness. Now here's those who are false. All right, here he said these are they don't really understand it. He says they have a form of godliness. They know about God, but they haven't really committed themselves, is what the Bible is saying. But denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Now that's some simple counsel. But that's some important counsel. He says, now this is how they come in privately and they deceive you, because they have a form of godliness. They know a little bit about the word. You know, they might even be people that you've seen in church. They might dress nice. You know, they all these things that says, you know what, they might be somebody reliable. But if they have only a form of godliness and they deny the power of God, the word of God, then I tell you to do what Paul told Timothy, from such, turn away. Amen. Turn away, the Bible says. Just simply turn away. He says, for of this sort, and it just came to my mind that when Jesus sent the disciples out, he told them to go out and to go into cities and share the gospel, but he told them at the same time there would be some who simply would not want to hear what he had to say. You know what he says? You just shake the dust off your feet and you keep going. And likewise, we need to do that with these people who are going to try to privately turn us away, having a form, looking good on the outside. Just clean sepulchers, dead on the inside. He said we need to turn away. He says, for of this sort are they which creep into houses. Now, here's the private part of how they get you. And you can put whatever group on this you want to, but I tell you what, it paints some pictures for you. It says, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and they lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lust. And now he's not pinpointing just the women here, I think, but what he's saying is what he's saying is they're tickling their ears. They're not talking to them about repenting from your sins, but what these who have a form of godliness are saying, it's all right to be like you are. We can just go together, grow together, and we don't have to change. Amen. Because you know this whole thing about being a new creature. You know, but about old things being passed away. You know, that's what the Christian people say, and that ain't right. He says they come in privately telling you that kind of stuff. He says they lead you away with diverse lusts. They lead you away because what they say sounds good, because you can keep on doing what you're doing. Amen. And still hang with them. But look at what verse 7 says about them. He says they are ever learning, but they're never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. He says they're always digging, but they can't ever get the truth. Why? Because they deny the power thereof. They deny the power thereof. He says in verse 8, now as James and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further. For their folly shall be manifest, or shall be known unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long suffering, my charity, my patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, And all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If you're willing to say that you don't deny the power thereof, he says you will suffer some persecution. He said, but evil men, verse 13, and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Oh my goodness. God says, I want you to understand. He says, you think it's bad now. He says, it's going to get worse.
Amen.
He says, they're going to get worse and worse. And this is why Peter is taking serious his calling to strengthen the brethren. Because he says, it's going to get worse and worse. He said, they're going to be deceiving and they're going to be being deceived. In other words, they're going to be sharing what they know, even though they don't really know anything. He says, and somebody's going to be constantly pumping in foolishness into their minds.
Amen.
Sound familiar?
Amen.
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 Amen. You know, I'll put this in there. You know, my wife and I have had a discussion recently about the Jehovah's Witnesses.
Amen.
And I said, you know what? They're constantly studying. They're studying. But guess what they're studying? Not the Word of God.
That's right.
They're studying stuff that was written by people who deny the power thereof. Guess what? They're deceiving. And they're just being deceived. They're studying, and never getting to the truth.
Amen.
Never getting to the truth. He says, but what about us? Verse 14 says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And then he reconfirms for us, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, so that we might not be deceived. So that when false teachers come, we'll be able to recognize them, so that we might be perfect, that we might be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. There were false prophets. There were false prophets when God inspired the words that we read today. And even then he was not pleased. And he determined that all that they did was destructive to themselves and to the people. And they were falsely teaching. And they were just on a pathway that was going nowhere. Now look in Ezekiel. I want to show you that. Ezekiel 13. That's on page 615 in the Pew Bible. While you're turning there, I'll let you know that Ezekiel was God's prophet to the people. Ezekiel 13. Ezekiel, his name actually means God strengthens. So here's Ezekiel. He's like working right along with Peter. Peter was working right along with Ezekiel to do what it is that God called upon them to do, to strengthen the people. But Ezekiel, according to my understanding of the book of Ezekiel, he was one of the people that was taken into captivity to Babylon because of the sin of the people. And what the people needed more than anything else was to repent. And all who had their best interests at heart should have been steering them towards repentance. But even then, as the Bible tells us, there were false prophets among them. Now, God was talking to Ezekiel, and God was telling Ezekiel what to tell the people so that they might repent and their hearts might turn back to him. But there were people at the same time who were speaking things that, you know, and dreaming dreams and giving interpretation and all these things that had absolutely nothing to do with God, but they were giving God the credit. And guess what? God doesn't want credit for that, which is he didn't do. He doesn't want it. He doesn't want it. He doesn't want our help. All right. Ezekiel chapter 13, verse number 1, I'll show you how displeased God is with it and how it was going on even then. And the one lesson that I picked up from this as I was reading through Ezekiel and thinking about the struggle that Ezekiel must have been going through is he probably felt like he was taking a few steps forward and a few steps back, because he'd tell the people what the Lord said and he'd say, but what about what this fellow told me? He said the Lord told him that. Well, here he lost ground with that person, and he had to go back and build again and lose again and build again and lose again. It was then that God stepped in to help Ezekiel. Verse 1 says, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy, and say unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts, that's important, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. He says, O Israel, thy prophets are like the foxes in the desert. Ye have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. Now that is important. What is the purpose? What is my purpose as a preacher of the gospel? What was the purpose of the prophet? My job is to stand in the gap, to feed you, to show you how to follow faithfully after the Lord. That's what the Bible says. To stand in the gap and to build a hedge. Not to be your God, because I don't want to be. That's God's job. But it's to strengthen your faith.
Amen.
He said, but they weren't doing that. They weren't being a hedge of protection. They were not going into the gaps. They were not being there for the people. He said they were doing everything other than that. Verse number six is they have seen vanity and lying divination, saying, the Lord saith. You see, there's nothing new under the sun.
Amen.
And the Lord hath not sent them, he said, and they have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. He says, have you not seen a vain vision? Have you yet not spoken a lying divination, whereas you say, the Lord saith, albeit I have not spoken? Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because you have spoken vanity and seen lies, therefore, behold, I am against you, saith the Lord God. And my hand shall be upon the prophets that see vanity and that divine lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people, neither shall they be in writing in the writing of the house of Israel, neither shall they enter into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord God. Now, let me tell you something. False teachers, they get a swift destruction. That's what we just read about right there. He says, they're not going to get the reward. He says, I'm not taking this riffraff into the house of Israel. And that's why God says, you know what? You ain't got to worry about these people who are false believers getting into heaven. That's not going to happen.
Amen.
He said, there'll be no corruption there. There'll be no corruption there, which is why it is so important that we know what we believe and we stand firmly on the word of God.
Amen.
We have got to. We don't want to disappoint God, do we?
No.
No, we don't. Verse number 10 says, because they have seduced my people. And here's what false teaching is all about. They have seduced my people, saying, peace. And there was no peace. He says, and one built up a wall, and lo, others dabbed it with untempered mortar. Let me tell you something. God's about to paint a picture, and I want y'all to see it, because it's good.
Amen.
He says, one person built up a wall of foolishness, of false teaching.
Amen.
And then there comes somebody behind it. He says, and they put a little untempered mortar on it. In other words, you imagine building a wall. And you're making the wall, and you were supposed to be using cement.
Amen.
And you decide, well, cement's too expensive. I'm just going to use plaster. Well, that's untempered mortar.
Amen.
He said, that's what you want to do. He said, that's what you guys have been doing. He said, that's what it's all about. You know, it made me think about, I built a little shed up in our house in Lawrenceville. And I had a friend who was going to help me build it. And he said, you make the foundation and I'll help you build a place. And so I mixed my little cement and I built the thing, built a little pad and come over. And he came over and tried to drive some nails in it. He said, this stuff is like butter. And it was dry. It was not a compliment. But it's still standing. I went and looked at it. It's still there. So that butter worked for something. But here's what. but here, God is speaking to the people about false teachers and what happens. What he says is, he says, one built a wall, one planted the seed, one started that ill project, that damaging doctrine. And he says, and then another just dabbed it with untempered mortar. He says, say unto them, verse 11, which dab it with untempered mortar, that it shall fall. And there shall be an overflowing shower. I like the picture here God makes. He says, an old great hailstone shall fall, and a stormy wind shall rend it. Lo, when the wall is fallen, shall it not be said unto you, where is the dabbing wherewith you have dabbed it? What about this word you said? He said, is it true? Aren't they going to say that when the wall falls down? He says, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will even rend it with a stormy wind in my fury, and there shall be an overflowing shower in mine anger and great hailstones in my fury to consume it. So will I break down the wall that you have dabbed with untempered mortar and bring it down to the ground, so that the foundation thereof shall be discovered, and it shall fall, and you shall be consumed in the midst thereof, and you shall know that I am the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, to know it before you go through all that is God's desire. That's God's desire. He says in verse 15, this will I accomplish my wrath upon the wall and upon them that have dabbed it with untempered mortar, and will say unto you, the wall is no more, neither they that dabbed it, to wit, the prophets of Israel, which prophesy concerning Jerusalem, and which see visions of peace for her, and there is no peace, saith the Lord God. God says, false prophets, beware. Because he says they're going to experience a swift destruction. Don't be a part of it. Don't be a part of it. Don't be a part of it. They're teaching falsely. They're leading themselves to destruction. How about we let them go all by themselves?
Amen.
How about we let them go all by themselves? Now, Paul, look at Acts chapter 20, page 821. Paul, as he was about to go to Jerusalem, knowing that what awaited him, as he defended his faith in Christ, he gathered the elders of the church together with a charge that they stay faithful and that they avoid false teachers and false doctrine. He also reassured them that he wasn't a false prophet,
Amen.
But that he spoke as he was inspired by God. And I just want to share a little bit of that with you about what Paul's testimony, beginning in chapter 20, verse 17. Acts chapter 20, verse 17, he says this, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus, and he called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with tears, with many tears, and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I have kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly, and from house to house. And that's important. He says, my ministry was public. It wasn't private. There's nothing to be ashamed of. He said, but I taught you publicly, teaching, testifying, both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the power of the gospel right there. That's the whole message. He says, what is it that we have to tell people? We have to tell them about repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, and now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit into Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnessed in every city, saying that bonds and affliction abide me. And what Paul is saying there is, I'm going. I know I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going on my own, but I'm bound in the Spirit. And the Holy Ghost has told me when I get there, it's not going to be pretty. There are going to be afflictions for me, that people are going to not like what I have to say. He says, but none of these, verse 24, move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. It's that grace. It's that grace. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost have made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. What is he saying to the elders there? He says, you know what? They need to hear the word of God still.
Amen.
And I'm leaving you in charge of that to make sure that they're fed with the word of God.
Amen.
Because you're either going to be fed with the Word of God or you're going to be fed with foolishness.
Amen.
And it is the Word of God. And I believe here what Paul is saying is that for each one of us, we must take on the attitude of protecting one another from the Amen. False teachings that are out
Amen.
There. We got to take on the responsibility of protecting one another. So that when we start sharing, and let me tell you about what somebody told me, and if it veers, if I miss that it's against the Word of God, and you caught that it's against the Word of God, then you need to tell me.
Amen.
And I need to tell you, we have a responsibility to make sure that each one of us are appropriately fed. In verse 29, he says, "For I know this, that after my departing," Paul says, "shall grievous wolves enter in among you." And he says, not sparing the flock. He says, don't be so foolish to think that everybody likes that you're followers of Christ. And let me tell you something for 2012. Don't be so foolish to think that everybody likes that you are a follower of Christ.
Amen.
Because they don't.
Amen.
They don't. You know, so often when there is talk against the Word of God, when people are honing in, you know, and this week in the news they're talking about in California about the cross that was in the national park for the veterans, and how there's a group that's saying that shouldn't be there anymore because it offends people. I'm thinking, why do you care that I worship the Lord God? Why can't you just leave me alone? Why can't you just not look at it if it offends you? Why can't you look at the trees? But that's not enough for them. The grievous wolves, they're not sparing the flock. They want to tear down the cross. They want to tear it down from that place, and then they want to tear it down from this place.
Amen.
You hear me?
Amen.
They want to tear it out of your heart. They want to tear it out of your heart. They don't want you to believe. He said, they don't want to spare you. Don't be deceived. He says, and also of your own selves shall men arise. Now that's sad right there. That even amongst the people, Paul says, some of them are going to arise from right in the midst of you, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them, after themselves and their own message. He says, therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. He says, remember the message of Christ.
Amen.
When the false ones come, he says, just remember. Remember the words of Christ. Remember that I brought it to you from my heart,
Amen.
Sometimes with tears in my eyes, so that you might know Christ. He says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God. Paul says, I'm leaving. But I'm going to commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. But we got to depend upon the word.
Amen.
The word. There will be false teachers among us. There will be. But we got to focus on the word. We got the responsibility to discern the true from the false. And our meter has got to be the word of God. And like I said before, if they get off the meter, then you got to get out of there.
Amen.
You got to get out of there. One more thing about this and we'll move on. Look in Deuteronomy 13, page 158. God says there's got to be some discernment. And that discernment started way in the back. Deuteronomy 13, page 158 in the Pew Bible. Just a few verses there. God says we must discern. We must be prepared to stand, as Paul's saying. He says he's going to commend us to God. He's commending us to the word of grace. And he said that word is able to build you up and give you an inheritance. But we got to go to it. And we got to depend on it. And in Deuteronomy 13, verse 1, he says this. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder come to pass, because it could.
Amen.
Whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. He says, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. He says, will you make the choice? that you will follow God. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. And you shall serve him, and I love this word, and cleave unto him.
Amen.
Now that's like that word we always associate it with man and wife, that a man should leave his mother and father and cleave to his wife, hold on to her. And that's a great picture for us here, that we are to cleave unto God. He says, and that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death. There's that swift destruction, because he hath spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee. Turn away. Turn away. He says, look at this. If thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is as thine own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers. He said, you better get away from them.
Amen.
Get away. Get away. Teaching falsely, leading themselves, and those that they lead away to destruction. Believers, beware. And know what you believe, so that you are protected from the wiles of the devil. So those are those who are teaching falsely. How about those who are following falsely, leading others to doubt? Second Peter 2:2 says, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. This is a very sad verse, really. It says, and many shall follow their pernicious or damnable or destructive ways. Many will be pulled away. Even though they have tasted the truth, they will be pulled away. I think what causes people to be pulled away is there's some truth that they just have a hard time believing. Two things I want to share with you today that I think present problems for some. The first one is John 14:6. John 14:6 says this. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Amen.
Now, that verse turns a lot of people away. They follow after false teachers, because they just can't deal with that verse. They say, now that's just too rigid. That's just too intolerant. You know, I that's just too exclusive. I just can't believe, and I won't. And they'll follow after those who say, there are multiple ways.
Amen.
They follow after those who say, all roads lead to heaven.
Amen.
Oh, isn't that a beautiful thought? I can just do whatever I want. Take whichever road I please, and I'll meet you up in heaven. You do the Jesus thing, and I'm going to do the Meredith thing. I'm going to sow oats, and I'm going to do whatever I want to do. But I'll see you at the gate. That's funny. And that is funny. I mean, that is funny. But that's, people have a problem. All roads. All roads. You take your road and I'll take my road, and we'll all get there, and we'll have a big picnic in heaven and talk about the way. But Jesus said, no man cometh to the Father but by me.
Amen.
He says there's only one way. And the truth said, Jesus is that way, and he is the way. And, words that are destructive to the truth, the twisting of the word of God for their own gain, is what false teachers do. That's what makes it false. And it so often leads people, even believers, it can lead believers away. it can lead believers away. Now, I'll show you that. Look in Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter 10, it's on page 888 in your pew Bibles.